The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Got your coffee and you're joining us for yet another Sunday morning on We the People Radio. This is the place to find out everything you'll never hear in the mainstream media. Find out exactly what's going on to real people in real places. The stuff that no one will tell you.
You know, we tried to book some guests from fake places about fake
things. That didn't work.
And, you know, it was really hard.
Yeah, because they never show up.
I know.
And they never call in.
They didn't call back. I emailed them.
Yeah.
I said, you know, let's have a show about, you know, fake people in fake places. You know, Elizabeth's dying to do that, so she can. She just wants to say something different.
I just want to do a. I just want to do a radio version of Seinfeld. A show about nothing.
People are like, you're doing that now. And stop
we
it.
We totally are.
And stop it. I wasn't a
we
fan.
We totally are. So if you're dialed into the computer, go to wethepeopleradio.us. You will find everything about today's guest. We're going to talk about the school system again. And we're chatting and streaming live also at wethepeopleradio.us. We have that fabulous web page, and that chat room is always alive and well. Love to have you join us. You can always call in, ask questions of our guests at 530-605-4567.
And if you forgot all that, wethepeopleradio.us, all that information is on there.
Yeah, no excuse.
Bob, do you have great music for us this week?
We do have great music once again.
We can count on you. We know it. We don't even have to ask.
A few encores from last week and some new stuff.
Yeah, we threw some more education at you. Well, we're coming at education from a slightly...
The back door.
Yeah, different spot. Charlotte, hold on here, I can't read and talk into the microphone at the same time. Charlotte has written a book. It's basically a whistleblower's account. She was the former senior policy advisor in the U.S. Department of Education. She blew the whistle in the 80s on government activities withheld from the public. Her inside knowledge will help protect your children from controversial methods and programs. The book is called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And I think, you know, you hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know there was a book out there about it.
That's great, though.
I was remiss. But the more I read, and especially I would go to the webpage, too. We've linked a PDF file that Charlotte sent us that was really interesting. It kind of confirmed all those things we've wondered about. And so many people think that these all the problems we're having came up in the last, you know, few years. You know, maybe some people will say like 5 or maybe even 10. But Charlotte's here to help us with that.
Well, the thing is you know, nobody can deny that our school system is in the toilet. I mean, look at the test scores.
That and, you know, so, you know, the last couple of weeks, if people miss that and they'd like the, another angle on all of this is Beverly Ekman and her book. So go into the archives. The two programs from February 12th and 19th are called Countering Group Manipulation Tactics.
Yeah, and, like making all the kids line up and...
I hate lining up.
I know, behave and do what everybody else is doing. That's the big thing. Just follow the leader. Do what everyone else is doing. Don't think outside the box. Don't think for yourself.
And obviously, we didn't do very well at that.
No.
We got bad grades in all of that.
No. Yeah, we get
Bob,
into trouble
a lot.
Bob,
how'd you do that? Were you a good kid in school, Bob?
School came pretty easy for me, actually, yes.
But did you...
Well, it came easy for me, too, but that's why I was goofing off.
And
what were you
me
doing?
As well. So, did you do what you were told?
Usually.
Are you fairly compliant?
I was, I got to say, I was fairly compliant.
Okay, well, there's still time.
My earliest memory of getting into trouble was in kindergarten when I kept messing with the pigtails of the girl sitting in front of me. They were just, these two little pigtails just hanging there, begging me to pull them. And I had to.
Elizabeth was a bully.
You got to remember,
there's a law against that now, you know.
Uh-huh. We all went to school back when they still taught critical thinking.
Yeah.
We had to memorize prepositions and recite
it. Yeah.
I went to private school. So is Charlotte in there?
Yes, she is.
She's listening to us blather on and on.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Charlotte.
Jeez, Charlotte, we're wasting time. I didn't know you were in the box.
Yeah, I'm here on the East Coast looking at the snow.
Yeah, there might be snow, but at least it's 11 o'clock.
Well, good morning. We're glad you're warm and cozy.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so for the record, tell us how you pronounce your name.
Isserbeet. The beet part of it is like the vegetable.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. So is er beet or is er beet, whatever. Is er beet or is er beet?
Okay.
Just remember beet like the vegetable.
Great.
Nice.
Not bite like the computer.
Yeah, because that one okay. would think so by looking at it.
And so for all those people that are not looking at the webpage and are going, why are you guys doing this? Charlotte's last name is spelled I-S-E-R-B-Y-T. So it had a couple options there. Bob had
it's
done
a very unusual name. It's a Flemish name. My husband was Belgian.
Hey.
And we're the only family in the country with that name.
That's
You're
nice.
Kidding.
Yeah, there's only one, so the IRS and everybody else knows exactly how to find me.
Bummer.
Wow. So you can't hide in that pack of Smiths and Joneses out there, huh?
No, I can't.
So today we're keeping up with the Izzervietes. I like that. All right, Charlotte. It's your job to tell us where to start. This is a big. This was a giant can of worms you're involved in.
Well, it was a can of worms, and I guess I've always been rather Pollyanna-like, you know, believing the best of everybody and all. I suppose that's a good way to be, because no matter how bad things got, the worst thing was when Reagan signed the education agreements with Gorbachev. We almost, flipped out on that one. Some of our people dropped out. Well, some of our really good researchers dropped out in 1985. But I just kept on. And let me give you a little background on this. I had been overseas for between 1953 and 1970, basically, in the United States Foreign Service, Department of State, and also my husband had a we had a lovely charter business out of Grenada in the West Indies. He was a charter captain. We had our own boat, an Alden schooner. And so I spent time there. But I had been, I had lived in the Orient in Japan and on Guam and in South Africa and in Belgium prior to getting married then going down to the West Indies and then coming back to the United States in 1970 with two young children. That was really, all of this, let me point this out, all of this is at that, which is really great, you all put that link up there, America's Road to Ruin. There's a link on your website, I think you have it up there, and if it's not there, it's at deliberatedumbingdown.com. All of my background is there. It's a PDF, it's a transcript of a video that Alex Jones guys did up here on the river a year ago, and it tells everything about my background. It's a really good video. It has nice pictures in it of all. I mean, they did some good work there. But anyway, if you don't remember what I'm telling you now, and you come in late on the interview, you can always go to that link. It's called America's Road to Ruin, and it's a link at DeliberateDumbingDown.com, as well as I think your website. So anyway, I get back to the United States, and I put the children, my two boys, into public education, public schools in Maine, in Camden, Maine, which in retrospect, as I look back, but as I said, I was always Pollyanna. I never, nothing ever really convinced me that, Charlotte, stop it, you know, you've done enough, get out. Maybe that was for the best, I suppose, because I ended up writing this huge Deliberate Dumbing Down of America in 1999, which is now republished in an abridged version, because the original one is out of print, selling for ridiculous prices at Amazon. The original one, just don't even go there. The new one, the abridged, super little smaller, it's only 488 pages.
Is at Amazon. Another Ayn Rand.
You can buy that, and it's a super little book. But anyway, I come back, and the kids go in. Then I begin to wonder what's going on in my school district, because I went over, because being a Foreign Service girl, I wanted to know what they were, what the social studies curriculum was. Mind you, at this point in 1970, I honestly, even having lived all over the world, I did not know. I never liked the United Nations. That was something, because I'd found out about that being out in the Far East, you know, and when we really pushed China into the communist orbit. I always hated that. I hated what had happened to General MacArthur, that Truman had called him back when he wanted to go across the Yalu River and, you know, get the Chinese. But so I had that feeling. So anyway, I get back and I go to the elementary school and I ask the principal for the social studies curriculum. Mind you, this is first grade. And he gives me this social studies curriculum, World of Mankind, by Follett. And he makes a huge mistake. He gives me the teacher's manual, which said right up front that this curriculum was, you know, the goal of it was to basically brainwash the little children into the need for world government and an international system and secular humanism, which is a atheism, right? The Supreme Court has declared secular humanism a religion, and no God, no nothing. And then there was this little exercise for the teachers to take the children in town, walk in town, and they would identify houses, big houses and little houses, right? The teacher would say, who do you think lives in the big house? And the little children, this is first grade, right? Or second, they'd say, oh, I guess those, they must be rich people. And then they'd say, and who do you think lives in the mobile home? Because in Maine, we didn't have zoning then, so you had huge, big captain's houses and mobile homes right next to each other. It didn't mean that the people in the captain's house were rich either. They just happened to live in an old Maine, beautiful captain's house. And so then the little ones would say, well, I guess the ones in the mobile home, they're very poor, and they eat pizza. And the ones in the big captain's house eat steak. And I thought, oh my goodness, what is this? What are they doing? This is class warfare. I was smart enough to know something about that, because I'd come home on a freighter from the Far East, and we were in third class, and I was at a dinner table every night for 2 months, going from Asia to the south of France, returning from my tour with the American Red Cross, and we had these conversations with refugees from North Vietnam and North Korea and China. And they told me all about class warfare. You know, they told me all about their relatives who'd been killed by the communists because they defied the regime, and they'd cut their head off and then parade the old grandpa, who was maybe mayor of the town, around town without his head. You know, I remembered stuff like this. And I thought, So I went to a local board meeting, school board meeting, and I very politely suggested that this was a peculiar, rather strange educational exercise for first graders. And that it was at that point that was the end of me in the community. It went on for 20 years from there on. I was a kook. And I found out about the fact that the word was out that I was a kook from our neighbor, not neighbor, but a tenant that we had at that time in 1971 in our house, a lovely gal who'd also lived abroad and sort of knew what was going on in the world, too. And she said, Charlotte, I was at the co-op yesterday. That was when we used to all buy cheese and everything cheap at the co-op. And she said, the word is out on you. You're a kook. What did you do? Yeah. And I said, I don't know. What did I do?
Well, thank goodness. Said, oh, we got a live kook on with us this
You're
morning.
All over it. And so I did. And so this went on for 20 years, I might say. And I was very active. I ran for school board. And I finally got elected, third try. They knew not, you know, they really got their troops out to go up against me. But I finally did get elected. And then I was quite successful in getting the horrible values clarification, which is destruction, programs out, and trying to get 5 minutes of grammar in and math skills and things. I was successful, even with some liberals, on getting the values clarification out, because the superintendent was definitely a major change agent. He was out of Harvard. And, well, I didn't know at that time what change agent meant. But I'm giving him that label right now because I know that's what he was, and he admitted it to me later. But he was the one bringing all this, these new ideas in, anti-academic, pro-brainwashing, values clarification, et cetera, like having the children, you know, do a mock little episode. Everybody's out at sea on a boat that takes about 20 people, and they run into bad weather, and the boat is sinking, and they have a lifeboat that takes 10 people, and they ask the students, you know, to decide who's going to be allowed to stay in the lifeboat, who you're going to throw overboard.
And, holy cow, you know, I remember that.
Yes, so do I.
Yeah,
I remember doing
do.
That.
Okay,
and
wait,
so,
hold
anyway.
On, hold on, Charlotte. We got to hang on. Our lifeboat has advertisers in it. And,
okay, fine.
And so
oh,
we,
yes, that's
we better thank
boat.
Our sponsors or they're going to throw us out of the boat. Hey, we'll be right back with you. We're going to learn more from Charlotte Iserbeep. This is going to be fun, guys. Get some coffee. We'll be right back. We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460.
When I think back on all crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. And with my lack of education hasn't hurt me none. I can read the writing on the wall.
If you have a vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at MillerAutoTransport.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Elizabeth, put your microphone.
I forgot to put my ears back on. I'm sitting here reading the internet.
I was looking over at her. I'm like, hey, this is a great song and everything.
And I'm like, how come I can't hear it very well? Oh, yeah. I need my headphones on my head.
You're a crazy person.
Welcome back to We the People Radio. Hey! Little shout
I should
out
have said that to you.
Leave our kids alone.
Hey, a little shout out to our friend Pat, who's recuperating.
You said shout outs, passe.
And I don't care. I don't care, Bill. And she's recuperating and has an opportunity to listen to the show in its entirety. So good morning, Pat. Anyway, yeah, welcome
back. She's like,
back.
Oh, is it going to be painful like this for the whole time?
It is.
Yeah,
it always is.
It's just going to be painful the whole
don't
time.
Don't know what you've been missing.
Charlotte?
So, hi there.
Okay,
I'm
so
here.
So we're totally freaked out because we remember the lifeboat drill from school.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, you gals are, you know, then you're going to probably be able to identify with quite a lot of this stuff. And anyway, I'll tell you a funny story about that. In Montgomery County, when they tried this on the students there, that was a pilot county in the country for educational change to bring us into a global system of which we're looking at right now. And all these things that I will discuss today, the need for school choice, for school to work. The merger with the rest of the world through regions, all this stuff. It came and community education, lifelong this will be, under the umbrella of the school district, which is referred to by a community educator as, I hate to tell you, the communist Chinese system. Montgomery
Great.
County had this same little strategy, this little game that they played with students back then, smart students. It was 19... before I was even back in the country, 65, I think. And the students, you know, the teacher, you know, presented this dilemma to them. And there was a teacher on board, too, so they could throw a teacher overboard if they wanted as well. And so they decided to, first thing was to get rid of the teacher. So they told their teacher that was forcing them to go through this that they want the teacher in the ice water. And that was the end of the little game, right? But so smart kids. Hmm? And this was the beginning, really, of the assault on our appreciation of life. and lots of other, you know, techniques and behavior modification schemes, et cetera, would follow. But anyway, that was one of the first. And anyway, so I did get, even the liberals went along with me on getting rid of that. And but generally speaking, I was bad news because we had a very, very liberal community that people had moved in. Maine originally was not a liberal state, but as of 1970, everybody started coming in there. Walter Cronkite visited once with his yacht, and it made the nightly news, and all the liberals from all over the country decided to descend on Maine. And since then, we've been incredible, sort of like a pilot state for many, many things. And I won't go into that now because a lot of them, they a lot deal with education, but a lot deal with land use and sustainable development and what you're fighting out there, UN Agenda 21 and all that. But anyway, so at that time, I was, of course, upset about what I saw in the school, so I was raising a bit of Cain, and it would be reported in the paper. I had a phone call from a longtime master teacher, and she said, "Charlotte, you are right on." I had no idea what she meant. Right on to what, huh? And you are absolutely correct about what's going on in the school. She said, "I've taught all over the world." She said, "I know." And she said, "I want you to go for some in-service training." And I thought, okay. And she said, I said, "What's it in?" She said, "Well, it's called Innovations in Education. And I'll pay for you to go." And she paid $100 for me to go. And that was a lot of money back then. And I went. And there were all these rather normal-looking people from my school district and other, and you know, the principal from my school and other people from other school districts in Searsport, Maine, lovely captain's town on the coast of Maine, just lovely. And the facilitator was using a textbook by Ronald Havelock, a professor out of the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor. And the textbook and his work was funded by what would subsequently become my office, the United States Office of Education, Educational Research and Improvement. I had no idea I was going to be going in there in, what, 4 years, huh? And be appointed by the Reagan administration. So here I was at this training, and the textbook had all of these case studies, true case studies of teachers and actually people in the community. They were all, it was, the textbook was called A Change Agent's Guide. And these studies of actual programs that were implemented, that they got approved across the country by using manipulative techniques. And I just thought, what is this? And then he explained to us how to identify the resistors in our community. And I just, people say, "Charlotte, what is it that got you going? What bothered you the most that got you moving in, you know, back in 1970s and you've never stopped?" I said, it was that. When I was being trained how to identify the resistors in my community, I woke up. I began to see, oh my goodness, what are they doing here? Because this is what I'd seen in communist and socialist countries living abroad. And a resistor was the old grandpa, you know, who they cut his head off in North Vietnam. And I walked around town with his head on a pole.
Yikes.
So that was such a shocker. And I went home. After, luckily they did give us the great big fat book, and I copied that book and I got it out to all the people around the country that I, by that time, knew. I was becoming educated about what was going on. There were a lot of people in the mid-70s and all, great researchers. Some of them are gone now, thank God for them, or we never would have had all the research we have. I got all this information out across the country, so that helped people understand what was going on and how the teachers and members of the community and all were being brainwashed, you know, to accept this new kind of education that had absolutely zero to do with academics, and everything to do with brainwashing, atheism. Your parents' values are all old-fashioned. They never said to you, no, you had bad parents or anything. Your parents are really nice, but you know, we're moving. We need change, and we're moving into a new world order, and we need to get rid of the Constitution. We want to have a global system, an international system under the UN or whatever you want to call it, regional government, which is pure communism. I mean, people may question me on that, but I have a marvelous quote from a writer for the Communist Daily World. In the mid-70s, I learned about regionalism, where he said that regionalism is communism. And I have that in my book, that quote. His name is Morris Zeitlin. People who have my book could look it up, Zeitlin. And by the way, the book is a free download. The old book, I made it a free download. So anything that I talk about from the book, they can go to my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com, and they can find that quote in the index, and they can cut and paste it, and they can send quotes all over to their friends. The original book is a free download. The new book, the abridged version, works very well with the original book, because if you see four little black D's in the new book, the new version, the abridged one, you'll know something's been removed there, and you can go directly to my website where you have the free download to find out what has been removed. But the new one is much more user-friendly. I love the new book, and people can buy it at Amazon.
That's fantastic. Hey, Charlotte.
Amazon, and you'll see it. You'll see both books listed, but you want the new one because you don't want to spend $500 on the old one.
Although, it would be great. So hold that.
That was my first.
Hold that thought, Charlotte. We're going to do a quick break so we don't wind up behind all the way to the top of the hour, because then we will... we get overrun by the news.
They cut us off whether we like it or not.
Yeah, it'd be terrible. So we got to take breaks about every 15 minutes here. So you've got 2 minutes, right, people, to jump in there, grab some coffee, go to We the People Radio, U.S.
When I was young, it seemed that life was so wonderful, a miracle. Oh, it was beautiful, magical. And all the birds in the trees, they'd be singing so happily.
If your tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
On some of the music that Bob pulls up, you will know that The Secret was out a long time ago.
Was it last song knew. Was like warning us.
They knew.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We were getting manipulated.
Yep.
See, if we were actually grown-ups back then, we would have been hanging with Charlotte.
That's right.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. Okay, so we're here with Charlotte Iserbeet and the deliberate dumbing down of America. Here's a little blurb for you, just in case you just joined us. The deliberate dumbing down of America is a chronological history of the past 100 years of education reform. Each chapter takes a period of history and recounts the significant events, including important geopolitical and societal contextual information. That's the part that's interesting, because as I mean, we know that this is, our system of education is messed up, but I don't think anybody realizes how far back it goes. And
well, how intentional the manipulation is.
And well, and
it
how,
isn't
and
just
how
an accident.
Yeah, we talked about the manipulation part last week, but we didn't talk about its roots. And so, bingo, here's Charlotte.
Yeah, the roots are good. Once I get through my experiences, I will go into the roots. Well, I can just say the roots go back. Right now, it just might as well up front say where they go back to the early 1900s. And there is a very important entry in my book, 1934. And it's the Carnegie Corporation funded a little book that you absolutely impossible to get. I did happen to have a copy that was given to me by a researcher in Congress. It's called Conclusions and Recommendations for the Social Studies. And that is at my son's website, AmericanDeception.com. And that is a professor of British socialism came right out and said that that was a blueprint for a socialist America. And in that book, you'll see how they decided, this is a Carnegie Corporation, which you can follow all the way through to right now, including they signed very extensive agreements with the Soviet Union in 1985 when Reagan signed the agreements with Gorbachev. But Carnegie, from 1934 on, they had the original outcomes-based education plan, and everything was geared to the school-to-work agenda that we're looking at, which is the Soviet system of using the children for, you know, to spin off profits, basically, for the global economy, forget academics and all. That started in 1934, and the little book is devastating because it talks about how Americans will balk when they lose their traditional freedoms, but we've got to move this way, etc. So that's a very important thing for people to hang on to while I'm talking, to sort of remember that. It goes back that far, and perhaps even a little bit further to the very beginning of the 20th century. But I'm going to go back now to the where we were with being taught how to identify the resistors. A good change agent identifies resistors in the community. Now, I was also trained on how to identify the prominent people in the community. You know, the head of the Rotary, Chamber of Commerce, Garden Club, Historical Society, whatever. Go to them and convince them of the need for all of these new programs. None of these programs had anything to do with academics. They all had to do with sex and drugs and bullying and all these programs that have education hanging off the end of them. I mean, people should ask themselves, this is weird, you know. We didn't used to have math education and reading education and science education. We just had math, science, whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these programs, death education, we were trained how to go and convince the prominent people that we needed these programs to get them on board. And so they would get on board, and then, of course, the people in the community would know the heads of the organization, good people, well-meaning people. I'm not saying they weren't. But they would be the ones who would end up supporting this stuff. And as a little just aside here, it's an aside, but it's probably the most important piece of research I ever found. I always wondered about, the programs were always destructive of traditional values, you know, the parents teach at home or the church, all these programs, sex ed, drug ed, death ed, etc. But I did find an article in the Guidance Counselor's Journal in 1975. I think it's in my book. It's under death education in the index, Deliberate Dumbing Down. And you'll find this, they devoted a whole issue of their journal that month to death education. And it said right there, now listen closely, because this is the proof that these programs that we were told were going to help our children, they were designed to do exactly the opposite. They were designed to get our children on drugs, get our children involved in sex, do away with all their Christian or Judaic or whatever values they might have about death and dying. And so it went, you can look it up, if you don't believe me, look up deaf education, because it applies to everything else too. It said, we will use deaf education the same way we use sex education. We will use deaf education to change the students' values in regard to death and dying, the same way we use their sex education to change their values regarding sex and various sexual practices. Now that is dynamite. And so I always knew that the programs were really very destructive. Maine happened to get the gold medal of all states in the country for the number of federally funded National Diffusion Network values-changing programs in the 70s. We accepted most of them. We applied for money to put them in out of the National Diffusion Network. These programs all dealt with these non-academic areas that I'm talking about. So anyway, we go back to identifying not just the resistors, but the important members of the community. Well, then they got rid of me on the board. But that was the most, I'll tell you, was that ever a valuable change agent in-service training that I went to? Had I not gone to it, I might never have continued my research on education. I found out. So then I continued, and with a very great friend of mine, is a teacher and a nurse, Bettina Dobbs, we formed Guardians of Education for Maine. And we managed, believe it or not, I mean, when I look back, I think it was a great victory. We managed to remove the comprehensive health education that had nothing to do with health and had everything to do with United Nations and everything to do with UN problems and programs, et cetera, and getting rid of the Constitution and blah, 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 blah. We got rid of that. But wait a minute. I'm going to tell you, one of the goals in the sex education for ninth graders was to teach them the three types of sexual intercourse, including with animals.
Oh, jeez.
Yes.
Okay, and this so is not a PG-13 show, folks.
When we got a hold of this comprehensive sex ed, we went to the Commissioner of Education with it. He was a very good man, really. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's rare to find a really good Commissioner of Education. Fabulous person, Solomon Millett. And he's still around. And we showed it to him because it came out of the University of Maine. The teachers were being trained in this. That poor guy, he put his head on his desk. You know, here are these two gals bringing him this stuff. Huh? He didn't know. And he said, oh. He looked up at us. He was so embarrassed. And he said, I don't know. What can I do? And we said, well, look, you're the Commissioner of Education. You're in charge of the university system. Well, good for him. He did. It didn't help much because we didn't really have regulations for protection of people's rights amendment yet. And even when we got them, nobody paid attention. But anyway, he did put out a notice, a memo to all the superintendents in regard to this stuff. And we did, ultimately, but Guardians of Education for Maine did knock out of this wretched health education from half of the districts in the state of Maine. I always look back because that probably was the greatest victory we ever had. And then because we had been that effective, Ronald Reagan was running for office, right? I was a great Reagan supporter. And this friend of mine, because I'd started the Maine Conservative Union, too, in the state of Maine, and she was all involved with the Maine Conservative Union prior to being pulled into the White House policy personnel office when Reagan was elected. But I knew her before because she was American Conservative Union, and she knew me, and she knew of my activities, you know, in the state of Maine. So she was responsible for me being appointed to the United States Department of Education, the Office of Educational Research and Improvement, as a senior policy advisor. Well, you know, I always chuckle when I think about that because I had no more credentials whatsoever to be plopped into such a spot. And the only reason that they did that was because Ronald Reagan had promised to get rid of the Department of Education, and the White House personnel and all of us, you know, at least the good people, and there weren't that many, unfortunately. There were a lot of, you know, traitors also who got into the Department of Ed. But the activists who wanted to get rid of the department They expect, you know, we thought we were going to bring that building down. So they didn't, it didn't make any difference where they put me. They just plopped us into open positions, right? And so I ended up in what really is the number one position in the world in education, because the U.S. is supposed to be the number one country. And this was the office where all of the research and development, teacher training, testing, international curriculum development, computer development, everything came out of my office and went all over the world. There were grants and contracts going all over the world, you know, to Germany, to Russia, to Japan, everywhere you can possibly imagine. American taxpayers' money going all over the world to change their education system, too. So we were really the nexus, huh? And so there I am in that office. I have all the old documents going all the way back to the 50s and 60s that were left there by these people who were very high up. Like, you would have had the senior policy advisor in the Office of Educational Research and Improvement prior to our trying to bring the building down, say, Carter, back, right? That fellow probably would have been the president of Harvard or Stanford or whatever. These were big shot educators. So I had access to all of these papers, all the plans, what they were going to do, what they'd done. I mean, talk about a child in a chocolate factory. Well, it was, I mean, you'd have to have a million chocolate factories, nuts factories, you'd have to have pizza factories. I was sitting with all of this stuff. Right. I mean, it blew my mind. And finally, there were a lot of escapades that went on in there for me, and, you know, I'd get documents out of there. I'd call this very good friend of mine, and she'd, out in Maryland, and I'd get all the documents out in these big L.L. Bean bags, and I'd carry them out of the office at lunchtime, and, dump them in her car. We'd go have lunch. I'd get the stuff out that way. I remember once, really very amusing, I had two huge L.L. Bean bags. You know those things you can buy at L.L. Bean.
Oh, yeah. You had the big canvas bags?
Loaded with stuff. And I was going down, and I ran into all these major change agents, because they're all over my office, huh? And I thought, oh, I'm caught, you know. So I went into the men's room, and that's the only place I could go to hide. And I stayed in there holding my breath that they would pass and go down the elevator. Well, they did. And I came out of the men's room, went down the elevator and dumped the stuff. And this went on for pretty much the whole time I was in the department, until I finally found the document that that was it. That was it for me. It wasn't that it was the most extremely interesting one, but it was the most important one, because looking back now, that is exactly the document that was used to put our country, our education system, into the restructuring phase it is in now, with use of computers totally, get rid of books, nothing but computers, curriculum on the computer, etc. It was called Project Better Education Skills Through Technology. And there was just a quote in there that upset me in particular, because I'd been a local board member before, school board member, and it said in this document, what we can control and manipulate. And that meant at the local and state level. And it listed the different things they could control and manipulate, like the selection of people for the task force, the curriculum, the places to hold the meetings, everything you could buy. And I went, oh, no, I knew they were bad, but I didn't, you know, when you see it in writing.
Yeah, it's like they're extra bad.
And I just thought,
okay, we want all the gory details.
I'm going to leak this document, and I did. And then,
okay, hold that thought, Charlotte.
Before,
hold that thought. We've got to take another quick break. And gosh, you know, the break things. We need to somehow work it into the story. We'll be right back with Charlotte Isrebeat. We're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
Just I ain't no psychiatrist, ain't no doctor with degrees, but it all This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
School always started the same every day. The Pledge of Allegiance, then someone would pray. Not every kid made the team when they tried. We got disappointed, and that was alright. We turned out alright.
Our bikes without helmets. We sometimes didn't win. We didn't always get what we wanted, and we turned out all right.
We did have to use those stupid scissors, though, that weren't pointy, and I'm still bitter about that. Yeah. They never cut the paper properly.
So, Charlotte, we have 5 minutes before we go to our big break. What do you want to wrap it up with on this first hour?
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to do in the first hour is give you what my background all the way up through the Department of Ed, okay? And then what I want to do is get into what's happened since then, and how what I saw is being implemented. But what I would like to point out here is that when I was ultimately fired, I got my I got all the documents out before I was fired. I wrote a letter to the president.
We like you.
Yeah, I did, and it didn't. I know he got it because his office informed me that he had it. It was a 4-page letter. It is at my website, deliberatedumbingdown.com. People should go there. It's a PDF. It's a very important letter. I told him that the Department of Ed was nothing but a Marxist factory, and I had all the documents, et cetera. I never got a response. As much as I tried, I even made a special trip after I'd gone home to Maine. I made a special trip back to Washington to meet with Ed Meese's office people and all. They just patted me on the shoulder and said, "Aren't you happy the president got your letter?" And I said, "Oh, no, I want a response, because then I can tell people he knew everything that was going on, you know." But I never got a response, and that upset me enormously. So anyway, then I wrote a little book called Back to Basics Reform, or Skinnerian International Curriculum. That is also at my website. That was in 1985. I wrote a 39-pager, a very important little booklet for Americans to know what was happening. And it was boycotted by the major conservative organizations in the country. Whether it was because all of this happened under Reagan, I don't know. But they boycotted it. And that's a tragedy. Because had that little book gotten out to the number of people it should have, we would not have what we have right now, which is charter schools going in, which are federally tax-supported without elected officials necessary for the Soviet school-to-work agenda. We would not have that. We wouldn't have the school choice agenda, which is absolutely devastatingly damaging. We wouldn't have performance-based merit pay for teachers. Teachers should not be, we'll go into all of this later on. What's happening now through school choice? School choice is all over the world. Charter schools are all over the world. It's the international system for workforce training. People have got to figure that out. Had that little book of mine not been boycotted, perhaps this wouldn't have happened. And I want to make a point here. The conservative movement was really good up until when I went into the Department of Ed. Then the neoconservatives took over. They came out of the Trotskyites. They came out of the Democratic Party. That's Bennett, all these different people, Pearl, et cetera, that came out, and in education as well. And they took over. And that is why I kept saying, what's going on here? They took over under Reagan. Reagan evidently went along with it. Gene Kilpatrick, all that crowd we're looking at, the people who like to be out overseas with all the wars and all too, right? They're the ones behind this school choice agenda. They are behind the school to work. They are behind the use of computers in the schools and the Skinner method. Because computers use Skinner, Pavlov, That's it. Computers can change a child's values from here to there. Boom. And they are behind all this. I'm sorry to say it. I mean, this is coming out of the mouth of an old great supporter, true conservative of Ronald Reagan. Something happened very serious in the early 80s. And when I get through when this first section, you were saying, what are we going to discuss? I'm going to discuss what happened. And the new little book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down, updated and all, which is at Amazon for people to buy. It's a lovely little book. That has an update from the year 1999 when the big book was published and now. And it explains a lot about school choice, a lot about computers, a lot about Bill Gates, a lot about this whole mess that we're looking at right now.
Okay,
all
thank
right,
you.
We are coming back with Charlotte Isserbeat. You guys ought to go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on some of the links. You are listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Just tuning in to our second hour of We the People Radio. Find out all about our guest today at wethepeopleradio.us. You'll find our webpage with everything about today's guests, links to her websites, her books, and everything about previous guests archived. Very easy to email out to anybody. You can click on any show we've ever done and send it out everywhere. So no excuse not to spread the word. And you will notice that the topics of our shows fall under the umbrella of adherence to the Constitution, limited government, and fiscal responsibility.
And goofing off.
And yeah, and there's always
that. Oh, no,
that.
We just do that. We just add that. We just
yeah,
add
we used to be
off.
Serious, but we tried
decided serious.
It didn't
just
work.
Didn't take.
Yeah. Yeah.
We broke out because we were going to hang out with people like Charlotte. We're going to hang out with rule breakers.
That's right.
Document smugglers, women who hang out in the men's room. Oh, that's a whole different show.
If you're looking for mainstream news and... yeah. If you're looking for mainstream news and political correctness, you need to switch your channel because it's not here.
It ain't happening here. We're talking with Charlotte Isserbeat. Her website, you can't even say she's the author of a book because the website's gigantic. It's the Deliberate Dumbing Down. DeliberateDumbingDown.com, sorry. The book title is The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. And, by the way, your son's site is fantastic.
Yeah.
AmericanDeception.com. We've added that also to our webpage for this program. So if you're listening in your car and you're, you know, trying to... It's not illegal, actually, to write stuff down, so go ahead and do that while you're driving. But just in case you don't have a pen, the Deliberate Dumbing Down and also American Deception are on our page. So
can I assume then that you've passed on your traditions to your son?
Yes, I guess he started earlier than I did. Poor thing, he was running around the dining room table collating things at age 12.
You know, so, yeah, that's what all 12-year-olds do.
He was in the first Gulf War as a Marine, and he's followed. He's really very bright, and I don't know how he ever put 150,000 pages hand-scanned up there on the website. I'll never know, but he did. And those are extraordinary documents that are very, a lot of them we received from an elderly gentleman no longer with us who was involved with intelligence in World War II, and he brought out a lot of these documents and had them, and before he died he gave them to us, and they're just extraordinary. And then a lot of it are my original education documents. One of them is, I always think, very important for people to look at. There's so many, you know, I mean, you could get the United States-Soviet education agreements there, but this, and the Norman Dodd, the research committee of the Congress that investigated the tax exempt foundations, that is there too. 3,000 pages of this document. There was only one left in the country, and I bought it from a very close friend of mine who used to work in Congress for $3,000, and he had been offered 20 years ago any amount of money, by one of the tax-exempt foundation minions. They wanted that copy. They didn't want people, American people, to have it. That is at my son's website. He put the 3,000-page document up there. That's very, very important. And then the other one that I thought about that you should, because I mentioned that the system that is planned for us, believe it or not, or your people are pretty savvy, probably won't shock you too much, but it's the community education system. They don't call it that anymore. It'll come in under your Sustainable Development Agenda 21 and all, but that's an old document written by a great researcher, not just written by her, she's got graphs and diagrams, direct quotes, everything, on community ed. And all you have to do is write this down, write the name, her name, in the search engine at American Deception, and her name is Feld, Ruth Feld, F for Frank, E for Edward, L for Lawrence, D for dog. That will show what we have to look forward to if we don't stop Agenda 21. And that's the not just education, because people always think that we're just talking about education. No, education is everything. You're going to have all of the services underneath the unelected school board. Everything's going to be unelected. Regionalism calls for unelected officials running your life. Regionalism is communism. UN Agenda 21 is communism. People have got to wake up. I don't blame them. They've been using so many different words, you know, semantic deception for so long that nobody knows what anything means anymore, but you've got to wake up. And that's a great document. It's not that easy to read because the copy wasn't that good, but please take a look at it. Now, what I want to make a point of, first of all, is this Reese Committee investigation that is up there, okay? Now, you're not going to have the information I'm going to give you up on the website because it was never part of the transcript of the hearings, the congressional hearings investigating the tax-exempt foundations in 1953. Norman Dodd was the research director. I knew him, a wonderful man. There's a great interview that Edward Griffin, Reality Zone, I think it is, has at his website. Go to Reality Zone and type in Norman Dodd and Ed Griffin interview. That's a great interview that he had with Norman Dodd. Now, in that interview, and I also knew Norman Dodd. Norman Dodd told me this over dinner in a restaurant in Georgetown in the early 80s. He died later on, not too long after. He went up to New York City as part of the congressional investigation to interview Rowan Gaither, the president of the Ford Foundation. And during that interview, which unfortunately is not in the transcript, is not in the 3,000 pages of transcript, because the interview was off the record in New York. But I believe Norman Dodd. I know him, and we all believe him. He's a marvelous person. You know, a Yale graduate. He worked on Wall Street for a long time. Tremendous background. Fantastic gentleman. He was told by Rowan Gaither that in regard to the funding, how the tax-exempt foundations were spending their money, that, and this is the key to what we're looking at, folks. I want you to understand that everything I have said today in the first hour and the second hour relates to this. Rowan Gaither said, "Mr. Dodd, we get our instructions from the White House." And this was in 1953, right? "And those instructions are to use our tax-exempt money, which is your money, folks, to change America so that it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union." And, of course, Norman Dodd just thought, he flipped out. You know, he said he almost fell off his chair. But he said, "Well, Mr. Gaither, you know, why don't you tell the American people that? It would save all the money we're spending on this congressional investigation." And Gaither said, "Oh, Mr. Dodd, we could never do that." So that's very important to remember, because what is happening right now, whether it's the Sustainable Development or UN Agenda 20, well, don't forget the United Nations was formed by a majority of communists, Alder Hiss number one. What we're looking at right now is that merger, but people are going to say, oh, the Soviet Union's dead. Well, it's not. It was a phony fall in 1991 or whatever. It had to be brought down. They had to tell us that because they had to get rid of that that enemy and move on, because if it was still alive, people would believe what I'm telling them today about what Norman Dodd was told. We have more communism in this country now than Europe ever had before. You know, we have it with regional government that I pointed out earlier. It's communism. It's going in all over the country. We're unelected board. School choice is the Trojan horse, bringing charter schools in that have unelected boards, using your tax money, taxation without representation. Once we accept charter schools, that's the beginning of the devolution of our representative form of government. People are going to say, oh, well, you know, we've got charter schools. We don't have elected boards there. Why do we have to have elected boards of selectmen or our state legislature or the Congress or the White House maybe? All of this, folks, is in the update to the deliberate dumbing down, the newer version, which you can get at Amazon.com. It's in the update. I'm trying to explain it to you briefly right now. So school choice, as lovely as it sounds, is the Trojan horse for not just education, but to bring down our whole representative form of government. Now, it's nothing new about school choice. Plans for charter schools go way back to the 60s. The Aspen Institute has been deeply involved in this, the World Government Aspen Institute. They've been planning this for years. First of all, they have to take over the whole education system. Homeschoolers will be controlled as well. We have all the documents on that. If they think they're going to escape, I still urge people to homeschool, but be very careful. Don't accept computer courseware at all. Now, I want to get into computers, and then I want to get into the school-to-work agenda, which Ronald Reagan gave us. It's a corporate fascist system of government we're coming into. I think I'm going to deal with the latter first, which I was the liaison with the White House in 1981 on the president's private sector initiative. That sounds innocent enough, right?
Yeah.
And so I went over,
maybe,
and I listened to these meetings about how they were going to merge the public and the private sector. And I said, what? I said, how can you do that? I mean, I'm not highly educated, but isn't that corporate fascism? And they answered me and said, well, I don't know that anybody really has looked at it that way. Well, it is. It is. I mean, if you merge the public and private sector, you actually have what they have in the Soviet Union, which Norman Dodd was told was going to happen. So you had to have that leg of the stool accomplished. Because the Soviet Union, if you go back to the Communist Manifesto, you will see they have a partnership between the government and industry. All right? That's all communism. We have now a partnership between government and the private sector, corporations. It's the same thing.
Sure.
Public-private partnership. So we're losing our representative form of government. You cannot merge public and private and have a representative form of government. So this happened under Ronald Reagan with the help of people like Ed Meese and Weinberger. It's all in my big book, Deliberate Dumbing Down, okay? So they had to do that. At the same time, they were putting the computers in. Now, as a lot of your listeners probably know, all the schools are going to be, or maybe they don't, nothing but computers. And there will be no books. Books are down. There's a wonderful quote in my book in the 60s when they were planning this. They were planning the computerization of the curriculum in the 60s. And it said, down with books. All right, so we're putting the computers in with the help of Bill Gates and all the Silicon Valley people, etc. Now, let me point out, you may think computers are good for education. They are good for doing research. I use them all the time. I don't know what I'd do without it. I'm addicted. But they are not good for computer-assisted instruction with individual education plans, IEPs, on each child in not just what they know academically, which is gone anyway, but it's It's the brainwashing. It's our attitudes, values, and beliefs on the computer. There are very important documents in my book, original grants that explain, one to the NEA, exactly how the computer works to change values. And there is one incredible quote, Dustin Houston from the World Institute of Computer Assisted Teaching, which we use all the time, and it does, it terrifies parents, I hope. And it says, won't it be wonderful when the child in the remotest part of the world can have the benefit of the views of the world's finest psychologists on the computer, and nobody can get between the child and the curriculum on the computer. So this is very dangerous, and what I'm really telling you is that if we allow this to happen, and this is all going to be used for school to work, too. You see the workforce training, the Soviet polytech system. I mean, we spent a couple million dollars, I think, doing work with the Soviet polytech system, our educators, getting this thing in place. That's what's going in, where your child is identified at a very early age, what he's going to do in the future to spin off profits for the global economy. True education down the tubes. I mean, good quotes in the book on, you know, C.S. Lewis, unbelievable, you know, says when education is beaten by training, civilization dies. It does die. We're not going to have any more history and math and science except as it is applied possibly to workforce training. And we're, if you don't want to think of it in terms of the Soviet Union, you can think of it in terms of Cuba, where the children leave the school at noon and they go to the cigar factory. Or they go wherever else. I mean, they're going to identify your children from the most menial jobs all the way up to the jobs that require higher degrees. And those are going, our children are not going to have any upward mobility for what they may want themselves. That is what is going in now.
Holy cow, Charlotte, we hold on, a whole truckload of Tums just pulled up out front. We need to go eat them and see if we can get some blood back into our faces.
Okay.
We're sitting here with our mouths hanging open. It's like,
yeah, our chins are on the floor.
I need to go home and listen to this again. I don't know if I caught it all. Folks, you're listening to Charlotte Iserbeet here on We the People Radio, and you're not going to hear this anyplace else, I guarantee you. We'll be right back with Charlotte. We are listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
To the flag, whatever flag they offer.
Tax advisor tells you your legal deductions are red flags, it's time for North State Consultants in Reading. Our team specializes in reducing your tax liability using IRS policies and administrative law. As the most aggressive and qualified tax preparation and audit litigation specialists in the business, we offer tax and trust assistance with audits, late filings, overdue taxes, and more. For more information, visit our website at northstateconsultants.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR 1460.com.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof.
Man, I really wish
I'd paid attention to the lyrics on these songs when I was growing up.
I was just thinking, you know, Charlotte took the smile right off my face.
Yes. Join us on We the People Radio to get the bejesus scared out of you. And, you know, charter schools. I mean, here you are promoting charter schools as an alternative to public education. I mean, I knew they were federally funded, but I didn't know that they were by design like that.
Yeah, Charlotte, do a little, like, a one-minute overview on that again for people who might have missed it. Because that's is the scariest thing I think you've said.
It really all comes under school choice. That's what they always mentioned before, right? That's what they called it. And you can go back to, I think it was a 1970s. If you look in the Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, the original one, under Alioto, it's in the index, A-L-I-O-T-O. He was a superintendent of schools, I think, in San Francisco. And he had a paper out of the Aspen Institute from a guy by the name of Lawrence Pierce. And Lawrence Pierce talked back then about the last sentence said school vouchers in his paper. But it was talking about how to restructure the schools and to go towards site-based management, where you had unelected groups running the school at different levels instead of the school board. And so they've been planning this all along in order to go towards school choice and vouchers, getting away from the elected official, the hierarchical structure that we have. Now, the interesting thing about school choice is that there are other documents in my book that show that the left-wing change agents in education, way up high types, I've got a very important paper in my book on their goals are the same as the right wing. Now, let me point out that the right and the left, your listeners probably know this, at the top, they have the same agenda. You know, the Council for National Policy, which is the conservative arm of putting us under the UN. And then you count the Council for the CFR, the Council for, CFR, I can't remember.
Council on Foreign Relations.
For. Yeah.
There are those acronyms.
The CFR. The CFR is, and people think it's the left wing. It is the left wing arm. But the left wing arm, Council on Foreign Relations, sorry about that. The left wing arm and the right wing arm have the same agenda. I mean, the head of the Heritage Foundation, because Heritage has affiliates in every state putting in this school choice agenda.
Oh, don't tell me, Charlotte. No,
watch out for it, folks.
Don't pop my balloon.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah.
School choice agenda is the Trojan horse. And I know that because I got a hold of one of the charter schools on the Cape. In off of the coast here, 15 years ago, I got the original papers, and it was a conference with Russia about. They had Russians come in to find out all about what we were doing with charter schools, because charter schools are international. And that particular piece of paper had all the corporations listed on the left that were going to benefit from the charter schools and the training of the children in specific skills and all necessary for the global workforce. And then the worst part of it, and way to wake up homeschoolers, was that they were going to hook into the homeschoolers, and the homeschoolers would be required to go to the central office for the charter school there and report on what the homeschoolers were doing. Mm-hmm. So please, please, please do believe me. We have all the documents. I plead with you to get the revised version of the Deliberate Dumbing Down. It's a nice little size. It's 488 pages, and it has all the major chronological entries in there. The only thing that were taken out were the appendices and glossary, stuff like that. Good stuff would make a separate book, actually, but you can go to the website, which is a free download. The book is a free download
at DeliberateDumbingDown.com,
and you can read all the appendices, the glossary, the index, all you want, but the little book is user-friendly, and I'm sure that it is vital for you to have it in order to understand, especially the update, which really will help you see that nothing happened since the year 2000, really, nothing new, but it's the institutionalization of horrible programs like the International Baccalaureate,
which that's how I found you.
We knew about it, but there's been marvelous work done. Go on the internet. There's a great study by Deborah Niwa, N-I-W-A, and I believe that you'll find her work elsewhere on the internet, on the International Baccalaureate. Other people have done good work, too. You can go to deliberatedumbingdown.com for her latest work on UN Agenda 21, which is extraordinary. I just got it the other day. Deliberate Dumbing Down. Go to the PDF list for Agenda 21. And the reason I mention this, the International Baccalaureate fits into Agenda 21, fits into school choice. All these things fit in together, and they've been very clever the way they've kept them separated. The International Baccalaureate, actually, not all the students are going to be exposed to this, but many of the schools throughout the country are now involved. It's a very expensive program that basically, to just the bottom line, it is a complete brainwash of your children to get that, make them comfortable moving into a one-world socialist communist system of government. It's a Marxist curriculum. I think they even have a school down in Arizona now that uses Paulo Freire's curriculum. He was a Marxist educator out of Latin America. It has nothing to do really with true academics. It floating through it is always this Marxist viewpoint. So this is what's going in across the board, across the country, but the charter school choice agenda is, you must watch it because it's the last place that you would look for what I'm talking about. You will look for it to save you from wretched public schools.
That's what we're looking for.
I'm totally on board with teachers on this particular problem. I've said to people recently, I cannot get through to anybody on the right or the conservative movement on this. They refuse to face what has happened and how their own leadership has been totally involved. I mean, the involvement of the conservative movement in implementing this international socialist system is outrageous and shocking.
That's how I found you, was through a study on International Baccalaureate. So before we go to our break here, we're going to have Don Shulman ask you a question. We're going to take a break and come back and hear the answer. So it's kind of that's kind of in our perfect world. That's how it's going to work. Don Shulman, are you in there?
Good morning.
I can't believe you're trying to drive and listen to this. It's got to be hard.
It is hard. You know, it's like Orwellian and Fahrenheit 451, and it's just incredible. The question I ask is, all right, here are the problems. What do? How do you solve it?
Oh, Don, we're not going to have time for that.
That's another show.
Big knucklehead? How are we
little me wanted to know that, but mini me.
Okay, Charlotte's got ideas. Is it cool if we go to break, Don?
Yes, oh yes. The question real quickly is, maybe just give a beginning on how to start, and then another show later. Thank you.
I'm kidding. And Robert's got some fantastic music for us that should fit just nicely here. We're going to be back with you in 2 minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR, 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
A vehicle, a boat, or even a plane that needs to be transported, you need Miller Auto Transport. In the auto business for over 40 years, we take pride in the efficiency, the professionalism, and the safety of our transport teams. Unmatched by any other auto transport or carrier company in the nation, we transport to all 50 states and overseas. To find out more or to get a quote, visit our website at millerautotransport.com.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
can't read, then they can't find out the truth. How convenient is that?
But even if they can read, who's teaching them?
Yeah.
And what are they learning? So, it's the lifeboat drill, only it's worse.
Hey, so Charlotte, let's answer the question that Don had when he called in. And then after you answer that one, talk to us about Christian schools, private schools. We had a question on the chat room.
Absolutely. Well, they're connected. His question, I don't mean to be, I'm going to try to promote other people's work as well. But I do think that in order for people to understand what's going on, they should get my new book, right? The abridged version at Amazon. Then what they can do is they can go to my website, deliverdumbingdown.com, and they can download the original big version. And they can go in and they can cut and paste anything they want within that book, all the documents. They can cut and paste and send the key things that bother them to their friends. This is documentation. Mm-hmm. Now, the new book, the abridged version, is not a free download, see? The old one is a free download. You can't buy the old one. It's selling for between $300 and $900 at Amazon. You can't get it because it's out of print. But you can get it as a free download. And you can cut and paste anything you want in there. But what you have to get initially is the abridged version, which is for sale at Amazon. Then what I would do, you have friends who are concerned in your community. It doesn't have to be just about education, because this book, these books deal with political things as well. And, of course, if you go back to the communists all along, they said they'd take us through the schools. Mm-hmm. Right? So, and banking. But anyway, then form your community little book clubs. You know how gals get together and they meet once a week or something? They have a book to read? Well, they have a chapter to read every two or three chapters each week. And you get together and you get informed. You read the stuff. You cannot, as I say, we're at war. Mm-hmm. We're involved in war, and I don't know. First of all, you've got to know who your enemy is, right?
Oh yeah.
First of all, you have to know who your enemy is, and unfortunately, in this case of charter schools and all, it's the conservative movement. Basically, that's not to say that the left is not very much interested in school choice themselves, because the goal for school choice is an international socialist curriculum for every child. And they're going to use charter schools to put that through. Because the international socialist curriculum has nothing to do with academics. It's to train your children in the proper attitudes and values towards globalism, a global system, and workforce training. Please understand that. Both the right and the left support this. And the right will tell you that they want charter schools and all because the public schools are so bad, and we've got to have a good place for the children to go. How can they possibly go to a charter school and have it any better when the assessment, the test that charter school children have to take, is the same test that regular public school children take that comes out of the UN? And 60% of it is attitudinal. Because charter schools are public schools, folks.
Yeah, they are.
They're not any different. They take federal money.
That's right.
But the difference there is that they don't have an elected school board, because the people in charge knew that an elected school board would probably never let this change from academics to workforce training happen.
So, Charlotte, what about the private schools, the Christian schools?
Fine, wonderful, as long as they don't take a penny of tax money. Not a penny, not at the local level, not at the state level, not at the federal level. They don't participate in public school activities, because that could drag them in too. Not a penny. As long as they avoid that, they won't have to take the test. Bill Bennett told some charter school these are homeschoolers, right? They asked William Bennett, former Secretary of Education, real neocon, out of the Trotskyite tradition I was talking about. The homeschoolers smart. They said, Secretary Bennett, what test do we have with your virtual academy, which is his school on computer? And he said, oh, well, you have to take the national test because my curriculum is federally funded. tax supported.
Hmm. Wow.
So we've got. Yes, wow.
So we've got.
Yes, wow. And I know it's hard for people to believe this. It is really diabolical, you know. And there is another article I really want people to read, and that'll help too for them to understand if they don't want to form their little book club. But they should read an article I wrote, and it's called The Devil's Seven Prong Fork.
I saw that.
Now, Charlotte, we've got a caller on the line that's got a question for you. Are you in there, Ann?
Oh, I'm here.
Hello, comrade.
I'm back from Minnesota.
Oh, that's where you've been.
Yeah, out of the. We'll talk about that at another time.
just in time to for our next episode of Holy Crap! Did you know this?
Yeah. You know, I've been in and out of the program listening today because we're trying to get our taxes done. But if somebody else has asked this, I apologize. But I was wondering what Charlotte thinks of whether or not we should actually seriously consider a new third party or to try to patch up the Republican, well, I better watch my language, mess that we have now.
Yes, this is a family-friendly show.
Yeah, I'll go hang up so I can. I mean, I'll hang up so I can go listen if that's a legit question.
You're always a legit question. Glad to have you back in the California.
Okay. Yeah, we need you.
Okay, well, we're back, and I'm gonna hang up.
Okay, thanks, Anna.
Okay,
all right,
bye.
Thanks for the warning. All right, Charlotte, what do you think about that?
Well, I wish I could give her a good answer. I think we're all equally bewildered by this because we found out that the Republican leadership is so obvious with this last few months how everybody the media is totally controlled. I mentioned, you know, the devil's seven-prong fork, how the media is completely controlled by these internationalists who want to put us under this system. So the Republican Party is completely controlled by those people too, and with the exception of Ron Paul. Who's running? I mean, obviously they, you know, it's pretty clear that they don't like the Constitution, they love the banking system, and they love war. And so that's the Republican Party for us. So your caller, she's very bright, and she's asking the same question I'm asking. I wish I could give you an answer. I think a third party run, maybe next time around, I don't know that anything could be worse. And it might be better. By that time, we might have so many disgusted Republicans, if they'll ever change. You know, what is it? They call it the 13th commandment. Never speak badly about your Republicans if you're a Republican. We've got to get rid of that 13th commandment. Because the Republican Party, in this case, I mean, certainly as far as education is concerned, what I told you, what I saw, which came as such a tragedy and such a shock to me, it's been Republicans since 1981 that have determined, basically, this complete shift from academics to the Soviet workforce training system. And if people don't believe that we're putting that in, I mean, I'm not saying that Clinton didn't go along with it, and Obama's going along with it big time, and his Secretary of Education calls for paying children for good grades. Well, I'll tell you, if that's not Skinner, and I can make a pigeon a high achiever, you know, which is the whole computer system, I don't know what is. And under Bush, there was the incredible agreement with Russia. Margaret Spellings was his Secretary of Education. And it Moscow Declaration, this is Moscow Declaration in 2006, rather. Commitments include promotion of public-private partnerships, which Reagan gave us, social cohesion, civic engagement, increased education use of computers. And it's a terrible agreement. And out of Russia, this is out of Russia talking about Russia's science and education minister, Fursensko, describes this declaration as a final document of the conference, and that will be implemented by education ministers of all the world countries and international organizations, including the World Bank, UNESCO. U.S. Department of Ed said the member delegates pledged to share best practices, that's Skinner, across borders to build education systems that can allow people to live and contribute to a global society and to work in a global economy. That's a direct quote, okay? Now, so, look, I just really have to tell you that, yeah, we did it. The Republicans did it to us. And the school choice agenda is totally Republican because the Democrats, although they like it at the top, like Rockefeller and all, I've got a very important paper with all the top internationalists and education change agents back about 20 years ago, out of the NEA, mind you. Discussing all of these things. So the NEA at the top is in bed with the multinational corporations. How many teachers know that? They wonder. Teachers say, why am I being paid for my performance? I'm not a pigeon. What's going on
might
here?
Might be.
And, but you understand that this is absolutely necessary for workforce training. They didn't pay teachers for performance when they were teaching Shakespeare and grammar and stuff like that because it was left up to the teacher what she wanted to teach. This way, with all these standards and everything, the teacher will not be allowed to teach anything and she'll be fired out of there. I say, if a school has bad test scores now, you better look twice because that means it's probably good.
Dang. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Kay Wilson, who's on the line with us. She used to work with Charlotte. So one of Charlotte's friends, I don't know, maybe Kay got to carry some of those bags and hide in the men's room. I'm not really sure where they met, but we're going to find out all about that. And for those of you who missed that part, better listen to the archive. Go to WeThePeopleRadio.us. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media.
35, 35. Ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 45, 45, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your...
Hear us streaming 24-7 on KCNR1460.com.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. Twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
My give a damn's busted.
Welcome back to the last 10 minutes of We the People Radio.
Who was
yet
that woman?
Who was that, Bob?
Jody Messina.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I like that.
Okay. So we've got Kay Wilson on the phone. And Kay, where did you hook up with Charlotte?
Well, I was a special assistant at the Action Agency, and I worked with Jim Burnley in VISTA, which the Center for Service Learning was under him. And they had a journal that they published, I believe it was quarterly, and called Synergist. And one of my main things was to defund the left while I was there. And we also wanted to get out. We decided to keep Synergist going so that maybe we could get some good information, you know, give them some better information. And when I edited the journal, I checked with Charlotte to give me guidance on what we should cut out and if there's anything else we should add. So, hi, Charlotte.
Hello, Kay.
Long time.
I sort of remember that, and the community part,
mm-hmm.
the community service and all.
Right. Service learning.
Which is really very, very bad, and this is all part of what we're talking about, and this is the Chinese, the Russian system, and people got to understand that we're not just talking about China and Russia right now. We're talking about the whole world, which has been divided into regions, and all the regions, you know, actually, this is, I think it was what Stalin said. First of all, you have to, the different regions have to be formed and they have to become socialist, and then the regions form together into a one world socialist system, and that's what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But the agreements, the original agreements, still stand between the United States and the Soviet Union, the two major partners at that time, right? And so what we really are looking at is the communist system being imposed on the country in a very tremendous subterfuge. The dialectic, semantic deception, everything in the, you know, which I wrote about in the seven-pronged fork. Kay, are you still working in this field? Are you still doing research?
No. Well, I'm at the moment I'm retired, but I've been working in various things. I was also with immigration.
Yeah, good.
For several years.
So you know what's going on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, yeah. I felt that the people that I interviewed, a lot of them believed the way we do. You know, they're basically, they did, because that's why they're here. And I was able to encourage them in the you know, that feeling, you know. You know, that, you know, we're not all Hollywood, you know. And we are for liberty, and we are for, but you have to work at it, you know.
It's not free every day. You have to be vigilant.
Absolutely.
And we haven't been vigilant. I think what you said about, you know, the immigrants coming in here, something I've been watching, it's interesting because people are buying my book at Amazon.
Uh-huh.
And I can see who's buying it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And I've broken it down. 25% are all Anglo-Saxon names of people who came over 200 years ago or so.
Right.
But 75% are immigrant names.
Well, they know why they're here. We don't know why we're here.
That's right. That's why they're here. Because they came here for freedom.
Right.
And so they're buying my book because they want to know what happened.
Well, and the Democrats think the immigrants are going to vote Democrat, but they have their own minds, and they know why they're here.
Well, I think a lot of them, you know, the ones who came in, my husband was an immigrant. He was Belgian. He came here because he wanted to get away from socialism in Western Europe.
Right.
And, oh, he died a couple of years ago, but he was just devastated by what was happening. He was a great Ron Paul supporter. He worked for Ron Paul until he finally just about dropped dead about 2 weeks before I had to keep him away from going to caucuses for Ron Paul. And then he died of prostate cancer. And the guy was just totally, he was devastated by what was going on. The poor guy had to live with me for 44 years. I learned a great deal from him.
I'll bet you kept him on his toes.
They didn't come here for it to turn out the way it's starting to turn out. You know?
Absolutely, Kat. Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up because it's such an important part of it. And so many of those wonderful people have fought hard for us, these immigrants. They're dead now.
Right.
Many of them have those strange names that end with SKI and whatever, PF. And these people have been fighting the battle with us. And many of them are gone. But that's why we have to keep fighting this battle. We cannot give up.
Yes.
Too many people work hard to keep us on the phone right now.
Well, it's good to hear you from you. And maybe you can come here to Reading and speak someday.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
I love California.
Okay.
I'm glad you guys out there in the San Francisco Bay Area who are fighting Agenda 21, I just love you to pieces, and I pray for you and wish you well, and we're all behind you all over the country.
We're about 3 hours north of the Bay Area, but there is and we work on that all the time, but we live in a very conservative area. So we have a little bit of an easier time. Like, if we were broadcasting almost anywhere else with this, we'd have people out in front of the station.
I'd probably be shut down. Who knows? You might even end up dead. They really are, they don't like us, and I think we're doing pretty well. They're never going to let us know how well we are doing. But personally, I think we were meant to be down. I have a lot of proof on this. In 1970s, they expected to take us down. And because of all these great people, I've mentioned many who are gone now, we're not. We're still fighting, and good for everybody, and God bless all of you, and don't let me depress you too much, because I still think we've still got plenty of time ahead to make this thing work.
Well, it isn't, it's interesting. It's important for us to hear from people like you who've been on the inside, who have miles and miles of proof. I mean, honestly, folks, if you click on the website and you go just to the website of hers and of her son, that's a great one. That's AmericanDeception.com. There is a ton of information there. So it isn't like you've got to take somebody's word for it, but I think the biggest problem with conservatives a lot of times is we get lured into believing that, you know, somebody's on our team, like Heritage Foundation, for instance.
Oh.
And our congressman actually wrote an article that was parroting of an article that was on Heritage Foundation saying that Agenda 21, you know, is just smoke and mirrors. It's not a big deal. It's a distraction. And that should have been a heads up for a lot of people.
Thank goodness he's not running again.
But we weren't going to get into all that. But
Elizabeth. Told you.
But no, it's something, it's very important. We can't take anything for face value. We got to get experts like you to smarten us up, Charlotte. Tell you what.
Well, I think that you guys sound like you are pretty smartened up in the first place, but it's, as I said before, you cannot fight a war without ammunition.
Yeah.
And you've got the ammunition on the website. I mean, the latest thing that Deborah Niwa did on UN Agenda 21, that's at my website. It's a PDF. And go to deliberatedumbingdown.com. We just put it up last night. It's very lengthy, very complete. It's all the enabling legislation that came out of Congress that allowed this to happen. All sorts of graphs, charts, pictures. It's fantastic. Please, folks, go there, deliberatedumbingdown.com, and click on that PDF by Niwa, N-I-W-A. She also has done the great work on the International Baccalaureate. All you have to do, Google International Baccalaureate /Niwa. And also she did North American Union. Do the same thing with North American
Union. Oh, we're going to like that one.
Niwa.
Okay, well, Charlotte, thank you so much. We super enjoyed it. It's the fastest 2 hours I think we've ever had.
Well, it's been very, very good for me, too, and I send all of you my best, and I think there's hope. We just have to become educated. We have to know who the enemy is, and we have to do our homework.